Okay, Parshas Pinchas begins with, of course, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen coming forward and taking vengeance. And Hashem calls to Moshe and he says, "Hey, Shivas Chamosi bekanoes kinasi." Pinchas got rid of my anger when he took my vengeance. And Rashi explains that when Pinchas killed Zimri, he did what Hashem was supposed to do himself. Bekanoes kinasi esaketzef shayali liktzof. What does it mean that Hashem has vengeance? What was he supposed to do? By the way, we daven every day on Wednesday. We know kill nekamo Hashem, that God is a God of vengeance. What does that mean? We're not supposed to take nekama. So Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal, whose great-grandson, Tzvi Elimelech, is going to be celebrating his bar mitzvah this coming Shabbos, Rav Volbi Zatzal explains that Hashem's vengeance is to eradicate evil from the world. That when we talk about Nikmas Hashem means that God is trying to eradicate evil from the world. And Pinchas was motivated the same way. He was not based on taking revenge in the regular sense of the world. Instead, it was all about getting rid of evil by destroying those who purvey evil within the world. A person who is apathetic to perpetuated evil is not going to be a real Talmid Chacham, says the Gemara in Yuma. Rather, real Talmidei Chachamim take vengeance, take nekama, not for themselves, but rather in order to rid the people around them from evil and negative character traits. The pasuk goes on to explain, "V'lo chilisias b'nei Yisrael b'kenasi." I didn't destroy b'nei Yisrael with my anger. Now you should just know that last week's parsha ended with the mention of the death of 24,000 people. The pasuk at the end of Parshas Balak says, "Vayu ameisim b'magifa arba v'yisrim aleph," that the ones that died were 24,000. How could a parsha end on a negative note? That's against halachic standing. We normally try not to end an aliyah with a negative note. So Rabbi Yochanan Zwang Shlita explained that the fact that Hashem considered destroying B'nai Yisrael, Belochilisius B'nai Yisrael B'kinasi, wanted to wipe out 603,550 families with his anger, and he limited himself to 24,000, is, I guess, a good thing considering, says Rabbi Zwang. So therefore, the first pasuk in this week's parasha actually reveals to us that there was an ending with the 24,000. It could have gotten much, much worse. Lachein emor hineni nosein lo es brisi shalom. So the pasuk continues and says you should tell him that I give him my covenant of peace. And Rashi tells us that it's that bedinu, that he received the award of shalom midina. What does he mean by that? And moreover, Rashi and Tosis and Zvachim on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph point out that in general, Kohanim Gedolim come from Pinchas, and why? There must be some uniqueness whereby they transmit themselves back to Pinchas himself. What's unique about Pinchas' kahuna that leads more Kohanim Gedolim to come from there? So Rav Gavriel Saraf Shalita of Karen B'Avne notes that the action of Pinchas was halacha v'ein morin king. We have a principle of habo al aramis kanayim pogimbo when somebody is engaging in illicit intercourse. Kanoim pogimbo, that a kanoi is supposed to be able to handle the situation, but which is the correct halacha, we just don't offer it as a psak. And Pinchas became a kohen here because of his actions. Says Rabbi Saraf, the Avni Nezer gets quoted by the Shemesh Shmuel as noting that unlike a regular Kohen, who is instructed to become tummy for his relatives, a Kohen Gadol does not. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become tummy when his relatives die. And the reason is simple. Says Rabbi Saraf, says the Avni Nezer, as cited by the Shemesh Shmuel, a Kohen becomes a Kohen as a result of his familial relationship. His father was a Kohen, and so therefore he's a Kohen too. And so therefore he needs to show respect for his kahuna, and he becomes tame upon losing a member of his family. But the Kohen Gadol does not become a Kohen Gadol because his father was a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol because he deserves to be a Kohen Gadol. And so therefore, says the Avni Nezer, he's not permitted to become tame when a family member passes away. Says Rabbi Saraf, the ideal Kohanim come from the descendants of he who pronounced this kahuna by himself, because they themselves become Kohanim Gedolim, because they pronounce themselves as unique, as being above their brothers. And so therefore, it's natural that it would be in their genes, so to speak, to be able to overcome that which is around them. And that's what we mean, Medina, he gets the reward. He's a legitimate Kohen. But the fact of the matter is, he's a legitimate Kohen plus, because he earned it. He didn't just get born that way. Speaking of other people who earn it, Moshe Rabbeinu calls ahead at one point in his life, and he is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the parasha in Perek Chav Zayin that he needs to prepare himself. Well, beforehand, he has the episode that happened with Benos Slavchad. We read about how Benos Slavchad, Ben Machir Ben Menashe, Lemishpachos Menashe Ben Yosef came close. And the Gemara learns that Benos Slavchad were Mechabavos HaSaaretz, just like the great-grandfather Menashe did. And hence, we refer to Menashe twice. So the fact of the matter is that the mother of the Imrei Emes once asked her son, why this proved that the Benos Slavchad were Mechabavos HaSaaretz Yisrael. Maybe the only thing that they wanted was the land. There was a financial gain. So why is it that we give such great credit to them as being such great Zionists? The Imrei Emes answered that you need to understand something. No matter which way we learn the answer to the Machlokas, the sin of Slavchad clearly preceded the episode of the Meraglim. And so, by this point in time, when they were standing on the cusp of going into Eretz Yisrael, it was already 38 years by the time these women had come to Moshe Rabbeinu. If they were only worried about getting their money and being interested in their financial compensation, yet think they would have come sooner than this particular point. What led them to wait until this point in time to come out and make their claim? I don't know. But one thing's clear, it wasn't just the financial gain, it must have been their chibov ha'aretz, the love that they had for the land. Torah tells us, Vayakrev Moshe's mishpatan livnei Hashem. Moshe brought their request before Hashem, and Rashi tells us that this had to happen because nis'alma mimenu ha'halacha, he forgot the halacha. And this was a punishment for the fact that he told the people that davar ha'kashe yivyun el Moshe, davar ha'kashe tegrivun elai ushmativ, and that all the difficult questions could be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. It seemed to imply that there was some degree of haughtiness on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. But it was true. So why is that haughtiness? Why was that a problem? The place to bring hard questions was to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Nosson Siwachfogel, the late great Mashgiach of Lakewood, explained that every person created has to carry in with him the primary mission of Eino Melvado. And a primary example was assumed to be Moshe, who so was intertwined with the idea of Eino Melvado that the Shechina was Medaberes Mitoch Grono Shel Moshe. The Shechina spoke from the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu implied that it was Tikrivun Elai, that he offered his own opinions independent of Hashem's, it was necessary on that level to show what happens in that case. And so therefore, Nesalma Mimenu HaLacha, Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha. So after the episode of the Benos Slavchad and the story of Nachalos, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to prepare Yehoshua to take over. And he's told, V'tzivi so lein ehem, you'll command him in front of their eyes. So Mari Barabi Rabbi Shechter used to quote the Sri De'esh, who noted that based on this pasuk, we see that smicha needs to be granted in front of the tzibur. And this is so, says Rav Shechter, because the granting of smicha is considered a public matter. Rav Shechter quoted the Gemara that Rameir received smicha twice. Why did Rameir receive smicha twice? Actually, when? Once was in his youth, and then again later. And the reason he needed the smicha twice, explained Rav Shechter, is that the people didn't accept him the first time. So clearly, the granting of smicha is a public position that requires communal awareness and support. That doesn't mean that the public grants the smicha. That's not for everyone to do. But the smicha, they have to be maskim. They have to agree if the smicha is going to carry any legitimacy. Towards the end of the parsha, we read a lot about the different korbanos. And the korban of Rosh Hashanah is slightly different than all the other korbanos hamusafim, because on Rosh Hashanah we're told, vasisemola l'reach nichoach l'Hashem. Why do we use the phrase vasisem instead of the more correct version, which would be the hikravtem, that we should bring a korban? So Rav David Feinstein Shalita explained that there's a Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah who notes that on Rosh Hashanah each person has a responsibility to make himself into a korban be'enei Hashem. And therefore, the purpose of blowing the shofar is to raise ourselves up to the level of being karbanos ourselves, to offer ourselves sincerely to Hashem. And thus, the section is introduced as Yom Teruah Yelochem, that on Rosh Hashanah it's going to be a day of Teruah for you, and therefore it's a day of Teshuvah for us, and then we're able to make ourselves ready for Hashem. How does one make himself ready for Hashem? Vasisem Ola. Once you have been made yourselves into an Ola, it will be L'reach Nichoach L'Hashem. In the Haftorah, which comes from Yirmiyahu this week, if you are outside of the land of Israel, and if you are inside of the land of Israel, we go ahead and read how Yirmiyahu was told, Haloch v'karasa be'aznei Yerushalayim le'mar, ko amar Hashem zachati l'chesed ne'urayach. The Navi is told, go and call out to the ears of Yerushalayim, saying, Hashem remembers the kindness of your youth. The Haftorah talks about a payback in the future for events that happened at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How is that supposed to work out? So Rav Pam Zatzal explained that the pasuk Shlach Lach Lamecha Al Hamayim Ki Berov Yamim Timsa'enu, cast your bread upon the waters, because in the future, in the days you shall find it, reminds us that Hashem saves opportunities to pay us back for our chesed for the most critical times that we need it. And here too, despite Hashem's anger as the Churban approaches, Hashem's willing to hold out. He's willing to delay and give us a chance so that we too can come to our senses and engage in the tshuva process. Hopefully, that will come to our advantage, and be'ezras Hashem, we will be zocha not only to a Shabbat Shalom, but a Shabbat Sholem, b'bias Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheirah v'yameinu. Shabbat Shalom to all.